So, Numbers 6, verses 22 to 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. For they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them.'" This is God's heart for you. Brother, sister, this is God's heart for you. He wants to bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder, have you felt blessed even this time? I had a text or two, a couple of texts, where God had really spoken from his word. What a difference it makes. I'm just going to do a very, very brief cap before we come to verse 26. You see, God was revealing his heart to the Israelites. He didn't exclude any. It was a word for the Israelites. We said last week, it's so often that we may think, God wants to do that for that person, my neighbor, my sister, my brother, but I'm not worthy. No, it's not for me. We can have that attitude that we just feel unworthy. We can be so quick to assume that God's wonderful promises are for everyone else except for me. I think we need to hear the word of the Lord this morning. God wants you to be blessed. It was also, and we may come on to this in a few moments, that God's love, God's grace is unconditional. We know that. But there has to be a response. There has to be a response from us with all of the wonderful, precious promises from the word of the Lord, their conditions. But God is faithful. And even when we, perhaps seemingly are lacking faith, lacking belief, God still wants to bless us. He wants to turn his face towards us. And I love that in, the Lord, verse 24, "The Lord bless you and keep you." The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. All of you. The Lord bless you. That's his heart. That is the Father heart of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. Keep you. What does it mean? Keep means to guard, to protect, to keep watch over you. As I was thinking and meditating on this morning, my mind went to a lovely psalm. We're just going to read one verse. It's Psalm 91 and verse 10. But it links very much with our theme. It says, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." Did you notice the preceding verse, though? Verse 9. "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place." You've made him, the Lord of all, your dwelling place. You're enjoying his presence, so no evil will befall you. Now, we'll be unpacking that in a few moments a little bit, because trouble does come to the believer. And because you're a believer, you may have extra trouble, extra tribulation than your neighbor who is not a believer. But the whole tenor of Scripture says, if you have made the Lord your trust, he wants to keep you, protect you, mature you, grow you, and so that you lean more on him. He does not want to abandon you in your season of trial. He wants to bless and keep you. He wants you to know that although the waters are raging, one word from him, they can be still. You prove God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. And of course, folk, as we mature, as we get a little bit older in the faith, We become more and more aware, I think, and I've just witnessed it so much this week with the elections. I do get interested in politics and so on, and I make no... I don't apologize for that, because, and I pray that I will have a heart greatly stirred to pray for those whom God has allowed to govern us, and that there may be peace come. But I just more and more realizing that there is a spiritual realm as well as a physical realm. And the spiritual realm is as important, as real, if you will, as the physical one which we live in. Do you see? The one is the world of darkness. You accept that? One is the world of darkness. But the other one is the word of light. Hallelujah! And the word of God is telling you and me this morning, we no longer belong to the darkness. We are children of the light. Hallelujah! So, cast out the fear. But you see, one world, the Bible plainly tells us in several passages, is governed by Satan. Under, of course, God's overall control, but he, Satan, is the prince of this world. He is the god of this age. He is the prince of darkness. And the word of politics out of Christ, the word of commerce, the word, the Babylon system is belonging to the kingdom of darkness. But that kingdom will soon be no more. Hallelujah! The kingdom of light, which you and I belong to by the grace of the Lord Jesus and our faith in him, is an everlasting kingdom. Is something to get excited about and to realize now. And when we realize that, we can have the peace, perfect peace, that God wants us to have. Because, friends, you are shielded by the blood of Jesus. We asked the question as we concluded last Sunday, do you really, really believe that the sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient? And there was an overwhelming, resounding yes. The sacrifice of Jesus is sufficient. And then, you know, the Lord, verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. God's blessing to you, God's blessing to me, is when he turns his face, as it were, towards us. And as we noticed last week, the phrase, the face of the Lord, does most definitely refer to his presence. It refers to his presence rather than a literal interpretation of it. Which means when God turns his face towards you, things happen. Things happen. The supernatural becomes possible. Because his presence, his face. And it is to bless us and to give us peace. It isn't a mystical experience. Friends, in this fellowship, in this church, we are not those. And God protect us, please, from the whole mantra thing and what we've spoken at in Answers in Prophecy and what I've written about and Philip has written about and others. This whole mystical thing, this whole contemplative thing, and sitting around in circles and just emptying your mind and so on and so forth. That is not biblical. That's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation, meditating on his word is so precious. So precious. He reveals his heart. He wants to bless. It's a place of safety. It's a place of security. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of peace. It's a place of direction. It's a place of vision. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to bless you. He wants to turn his face towards you. Hallelujah. It's not a nice feeling that comes upon us from time to time. It is his truth. transforming power. My prayer is, friends, and I hope as you've been meditating on this word, perhaps during the past week, and maybe you've got into a few awkward scrapes and situations, say, Lord, I know you're able. I know you're willing. The doubt is on my side. Transform this situation. Presence. Direct me. I don't want to do my own thing. Lead me. And then, of course, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Be gracious to you. The grace of our Lord is all about what we don't deserve. It's all about what we don't deserve. Maybe despite everything that you have done in your life, however terrible you may see yourself, God is still for you. Grace is all about what Jesus Christ has done for you and not what you deserve.
Amazing.
Amazing. And then we come to verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace. When he lifts his countenance upon us, he gives us true peace. It's very similar, obviously, to the preceding verse, when he turns his face. When he lifts his countenance upon you, that countenance of a smile, that countenance of a smile, you are my child. You are my beloved. He gives us true peace. True peace. Peace, of course, can mean so many different things to different people. It can mean a fragile truce. It can be the absence of a storm. Maybe a particular feeling. But when the Bible speaks of peace, that God wants to give you his peace, that he wants to give you the peace which transcends, passes all understanding, that when in this world you might have trouble, you might have tribulation, you can still enjoy my peace. When the Bible speaks about peace, it's talking about the shalom peace, the well-being. You can be well in me despite the storm going on. You can know the tranquility of a still and quiet heart because you have my peace. It's the well-being aspect in all of our lives. You know, one of the titles that Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave to our Lord Jesus Christ was what? Prince of Peace. Was Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And you know, friends, the true ministry of our Lord reveals that this is very much his heart. He is the Prince of Peace to his beloved. Because it's about healing. It's about the healing of our relationship with God. We were cut off from God because of our sin. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has brought reconciliation. Bless his holy name. The healing of our bodies and so on. Healing of relationships with other people. All can now be possible because he is the Prince of Peace. And if the Prince of Peace is living within you, then that will translate into your behavior, your attitude to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your parents, to your employer, to your employees, to your church members. Your fellow church brothers and sisters, because you have the Prince of Peace. This is often, as we said last week, it's the Aaronic blessing, the high priestly blessing. And when it's pronounced as a blessing, it is a statement of God's intention and desire for us. Some of you may recall that some point last year, I spoke We gave a sermon on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just a nice feeling that we could just mumble as a prayer. It is what God wants for us. The grace of our Lord be with you. You know, he wants you. It's a command. The joy, the love, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This is God's heart for you and for me. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Blessed be his name. That we might receive what Jesus came to bring us. It's just as if he was standing next to us. My peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. I just quoted something from Isaiah. There's another verse from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. This is the word of God. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Jehovah. Keep him in perfect peace. This is what God wants for you. The issue, the problem is, we so often take our focus away from the Lord and his word and his promises. We focus on ourselves, which we need to do. Our circumstances are real. Our sickness may be real. The financial problem, the relationship, which has gone a little bit south, it may all be real. The redundancy may be real. Failing the exam may be real. And God understands, he sympathizes with us in our struggle. But if we concentrate only on the problem and the issue, we're just like the world. But we have the Prince of Peace. It's when I know, God, you are for me, so who can be against me? His peace can come. I may not understand why I'm travailing, Travis, why I'm going down this particular route, Lord, but I know that you do. And whatever lesson, whatever you may want to teach me, that I will learn so that I will come back and have that close walk with you, I know that you are for me. That if it's sanctified by you, it is one of those things that are going to work for my good. Because I'm in Christ. He loves me. He wants to bless you. He wants to keep you. He wants his face to shine upon you, his countenance to be lit upon you. He wants to give you peace. Hallelujah. In one of the connects a few weeks ago, looking at Mark's Gospel, and it's so encouraging just looking at Mark's Gospel. I'm hoping it is helping us as we think about sharing our faith, sharing our testimony, bringing others into a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit quickens his word. Obviously, in one of the chapters, in the early chapters of Mark's, it has the story about, not the story, it's a true account of when Jesus was in the boat and the disciples got really, really alarmed and fearful and afraid, and Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was asleep. But it was noted at the Connect group that before ever they set off, Jesus says, "No, we're going to the other side." And if Jesus says, "We're going, I'm in this boat with you, you'll get there." The disciples lost their focus. They lost their peace. Perhaps I would have done so as well. He is the Prince of Peace. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, let it not be afraid, neither let it be afraid." Some of you know that one of my favourite authors, who only lived to the age of 29, he was from Scotland, Robert Murray M'Cheyne, great minister of the gospel, a great pastor, live close to the Lord. He had his own challenges and trials, but he achieved so much under the Lord's anointing in his short life. Robert Murray M'Cheyne. I do encourage you to perhaps go to a second-hand bookshop or whatever, Christian bookshop, and perhaps purchase some of his. The volume which I've got is the Memoirs and Remains of Robert Murray M'Cheyne. You think you're going to open it up and there's going to be a bone fall out. But it's no, friends. It's his life, is what others have written about him and some of his sermons. It touches me. But this is one thing he said which came back to me, and so I had to look it up to get the correct quote. This is what he said. If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Take that on board. Please, Jim, take it on board. Faith come. So, yeah, he may not be praying in the next room, but he's praying for you, beloved. Do no need to fear. Even as Robert Murray M'Cheyne said, a million enemies. Jesus, we've quoted from John 14, as he's in his room with his disciples, John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Friends, it's not in the world. It's not even in your dearest friend. It's in Christ Jesus. You may have peace. You may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the opening verse is, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all because of what Christ has done by coming into this world and giving his life to redeem us. Hallelujah. His sacrifice is complete. But it's ongoing, the actual working out of it. It is that we may know his peace. And I know that those of you, which is all of you who know your Bibles, will be expecting me to quote from Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 to 7, but just because you and I are familiar with it, let the words impact you now and myself. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's important. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You see, folk, anxiety and prayer are two opposing forces. They're in opposition to each other. Anxiety and prayer are opposing forces. The peace of God is not just a psychological state of mind. It's an inner tranquility based on peace with God. God's love, his care for you, God's love, his care for you, is beyond comprehension. It transcends, it passes understanding. But it's real. It's real for you. Receive it by faith. Which of course means, friends, if we're going to enjoy what God so dearly wants us to enjoy, we cannot live as we please. We cannot live as we please. And if any of us are fighting with God, if we're resisting, fighting, resisting his plan and purpose for us, then we won't be experiencing this supernatural peace. The enemy may give us a false peace, think, oh, well, I'm okay because I've got this. No, no, no. It's not the eternal peace. It's not from the Prince of Peace. God will give you peace when you're seeking to follow him and rest in him. It's not that we've just been forgiven and are going to heaven when we die so that we can live as we please. We must, friends, take the word seriously and live to please God now. And to get back on track, he's wooing us. If any of us have gone slightly off track, if any of us are doing our own thing, if we've let wrong thoughts, which have translated perhaps into wrong action, take over us, he wants us to confess it and put it right where we can, so that the peace of God can indwell us. That supernatural peace. What transforming privileges that God's peace brings to us. We read in Colossians that God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on having made peace through the blood of the cross. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. And the only way that we will experience this peace of God that passes all understanding, that transcends all human understanding, is through the blood of Christ. The blood that Jesus shed. And it's a gift. It's a gift. You cannot have the peace of God until you have first peace with God. Do you have peace with God? One of the initiatives which I am convinced God has placed on my heart is that for praying, we need to, as others have said, really as a fellowship, as well as obviously individually, take prayer very, very seriously, corporate praying, interceding, thanksgiving, and so on and so forth. We're open to the Lord to direct us in this, but we need to pray more. In faith, hallelujah, but also personal praying. I know the Lord has laid in my heart that there will be set times during the month when those who want prayer, ministry, just to share, I will make myself with a sister available for that. Because, friends, I know. You see, in Peter it says, the devil, your adversary, goes around like a lion, prowls like your adversary. It's yours. It's yours. It's mine. It's not the world's adversary. They're still in darkness. But it's yours. And God wants to make sure, he wants us to come into that real freedom. That real freedom that any bondages that any of us are in, in these last climatic days before his return, he wants us to enjoy the blessings of his peace, of his favour upon us, so that whatever trouble may be going on in the world or around us or within us, we can know that peace. But I am convinced in the Holy Spirit that some of us need that setting free, or just seeking God's direction. And it's all part of what we're seeking to do in connect groups on the Sunday evenings and so on. But I just believe that that is something that will be helpful to the body of Christ. Finally, you will have, and I will have, the peace of God. If we've got peace with God, and we have the peace of God, which he wants all of us to have, it means we'll be peacemakers. We will be peacemakers. We won't be troublemakers. We'll be peacemakers. What is one of the Beatitudes? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. sons of God, the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be you thankful. What is the fruit of the Spirit? We read it in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, which there is no law. And I just sense a song coming upon me. Leonie, just lead us. Of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law. Fruit of the Spirit is love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law. Let me just go back to something. No, friends, there is no circumstance so big that God cannot control it. Just take that on board. There is no circumstance which you may be facing or perhaps even face in the coming days that is so big that he cannot control it. James chapter 3 says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We must be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, friends, God's word can only be sown in peace. There is power in peace. And you know, if the devil can't get you upset, he doesn't seem to have much power over you. But he gains control when we lose it, when we react in the flesh. And so he plans, he goes around like a roaring lion. He wants us to get upset and to have arguments in order to steal our peace. Confuse us, to make us run in circles. My humble advice to myself and to you is, next time you get worked up about an issue, ask yourself this: what is the enemy trying to do? And perhaps, as we've just sung, we need to exercise self-control and keep our peace. Real contentment must come from within. You see, we cannot change the world around us. But with God's help, as the children of the Lord, with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we can change and control the world within us. And the Bible says this, and I'm so thankful to God for the unity that we have. Watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And let me just say, as I conclude, peace of God. In our marriages, in our relationship with our employers or employees, with other members of the family, in our relationship with church members, with our elders, with others, the fact is, healthy relationships are not conflict-free. Healthy relationships are not conflict-free. Healthy relationships are conflict-resolving. Healthy relationships are conflict-resolving. And I, from my own experience, and I regret it, so often the problem is we fight for victories instead of fighting for solutions. So what is the result? One wins, one loses, the relationship suffers. Friends, don't let perceived offences accumulate, because unaddressed issues do multiply in whatever relationship we may be thinking of. But always be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to each other. Speak the truth in love. Be gentle. Christ-like consideration for others is essential. Avoid blaming, particularly in our marriages. Avoid blaming. Confront the issue, but seek to restore and to save the relationship, and it will be better than it ever was. God's peace. Shall we read those verses in conclusion from Numbers chapter 6? Read it together. Hallelujah. May God indeed have spoken to us. Because when we have this peace of God, which is not as the world gives, it's something that is supernatural, which God wants to bless you and me with. Whatever the future, even death itself, we can say, it is well with my soul. It is well. So let's read verses 24, 25 and 26 together. And then, Angie, if we can sing the concluding hymn. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.